What's up, everybody, and welcome to Truth with Tara. I'm Tara Simon, and I have the distinct pleasure of having Kristen Cruz on the show today. Kristen is a TikTok star. She is an amazing singer-songwriter, and I had the pleasure of reacting to you in a lot of my duets on TikTok, and yours are the ones, some of the ones anyway, that have gone the most viral on my platform. So I wanted to have you today on the podcast to get to know you more. How are you? Thank you so much for being here.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Your personality, by the way, is also a favorite. And I think like watching your content, it's just as much of a pleasure to watch you sing as it is to watch you, I don't know, try that weird seaweed moss that you eat, and the faces that you make is hilarious. What's going on with that? Let's just get into that first.
Well, so I have been like on like a health journey and all this different stuff. And so I was like, you know what? If I'm suffering and by myself and like it's a big challenge, I think I would have more accountability to do it if I video it, and it'd be funny and be like a challenge. Be like, you know what? Might as well video this and have a laugh, you know, and
right.
Have people share this moment with me. And so I was like, you know, I might as well just, yeah, show everybody what's going on. So, yeah.
Why sea moss?
So there's like this whole big like sea moss thing where everybody was like, this has great minerals and has 100-something minerals, or it has 90-something minerals, and we're like 100-something minerals. And so I was like, you know what? You know, let's try it. Let me go to my local health store and get me some sea moss. And so I was like talked into it by the guy. He's like, this is the greatest sea moss. It's so good for you. I'm like, yeah, let's get it. And so I got it, and it's like a big jar. And then I realized it's the worst thing ever, and I have to take it because it was like $30, and I'm like, can't just waste it. I'm like, that's a good $30, and so,
So you're, it's just so funny watching you struggle, and you, the way you scrunch your nose and everything. I literally am disgusted for you, and I haven't tasted it, but it's almost like I feel healthier watching you go through that, and I'm so glad that I didn't buy that sea moss. Yeah. Did you finish the jar?
No. No, you have to like really take it like consistently in like two scoops, like two big teaspoons. And I could never really finish it because it was like bad. Like I'm a texture person. So like, even if I eat like a Starbucks cake pop, like it'll make me like gag. And so I'm like,
it was a
bad situation.
That's not great. So, okay, let's get into your come up and you as a little girl. Were you that little girl with a big voice? I was called that, and I sort of like grew into the size of my head and the size of my voice as I aged. How about you? What's your story on that?
So I've always like sung ever since I was like really little. There's like pictures of me on the coffee table singing into like the vacuum cleaner and all this different stuff, and just kind of having like little performances, you know, in my house, and really loving like Adele and Selena Quintanilla and all these like different singers. And then as I grew up, I just like always loved like singing, and I was like, I want to be in the talent show. I want to sing on stage. And so my mom was like, around whenever I was around like 10 or 11, my mom was like, Kristen really likes to sing. I'm going to see if we can get her into singing lessons or something. She was like talking to her coworker and was like, you know, I think I should. And so we went to somebody that like, she worked at this apartment complex, and somebody that lived there that was a vocal coach. And we went over to their place, and like they played the scales. And then I was like singing, and they were like, I think she should go to this actual, like, you know, like, place like for vocal lessons, because like he was just like out of his like apartment and stuff. So I was just like, you know what, I'm like 11 or like 10 or 11, and I'm like, okay. So we go to this singing place, and then I start singing in a band, and then I just, from there, that's how it all started with singing.
I find it very interesting, actually, and wonderful that kind of like out of the house vocal coach had enough integrity to be like, yeah, I don't have enough of what it takes to coach you, so let me show you where you should go, really. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually very generous of that person, mm-hmm. and I think humble too, full of integrity. I love that. Yeah. That's wonderful. And I actually, touching on that, I think sometimes coaches do a really huge disservice to students just for the monetary gain of the monthly reoccurring revenue, to keep students where they know that they may not know where to take them, mm-hmm. right? Like, or where to refer them, but they know that they're not getting the job done, yeah. in their hearts. Like, you know, and that just means, it doesn't mean that you're less than, it just means it's not a good fit.
Yeah.
And I love how he was like, yeah, no, this is, maybe he's excellent with male singers or a different genre, but you need to go here. I really find that to be exceptional, yeah. and rare. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So when did you know, like for me, I can tell you that, you know, when you grow up and you are asked every year in class, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you write it down on a piece of paper and you submit it, and then the parents read it, like, oh, cute. And it always changes, right? For everybody that I've ever known, all my friends, it always changes. My sister, my gosh, she changed what she wanted to be like 8, 10, 12 times, right? Every week, sometimes it was something different.
Yeah.
Ever since I could write down what I wanted to be, it was, I'm going to be a singer. I'm going to singer. I'm going to singer. Was it the same for you, or was there an age where you were like, okay, now I get it. This light bulb just happened.
It's always been being a singer. I think it's so funny.
Wow.
Cause ever since, like, music has always been a big part of it. And I've always remember, like, the song would be playing and I'd be like performing, you know, and I'd be like singing the song, and I'm like on stage in my mind, you know? And so, mm-hmm. like, I've always been like, oh my goodness, like, that's my dream, you know, ever since I was a child. So.
That's awesome. So what's your why behind singing?
Well, I think in the beginning of singing, I just felt like this passion and unction for it. And I didn't really know what the purpose of, like, why am I going to be a singer? Because I feel like you can have talent and there be no purpose. And there could be, you know, like, oh yeah, I just have talent. A lot of, like, I see it as there's a lot of talented singers. There's somebody that's
so always, many.
Yeah. There's always gonna be somebody that's probably better than you, or can do more runs than you. But I think that the purpose behind it is what really matters, and the purpose of the singer. And I feel like growing up, I realized, I'm like, okay, I feel like it's to help people, but also like, my personal faith in God, of like, okay, I'm doing this because I feel like God put this purpose in me, and there's a greater purpose, not just to be like, hey, I sing, you know, like, you know, la-di-da, you know, it's cool. But I feel like, I think it is like, because God wants to use music to heal people and to help people, and through songwriting and through storytelling, you know, you can really do that. And so, yeah.
Healing and helping through music.
And also,
I love that.
And also through TikTok, I didn't realize that, like, you know, just sharing your life and being like, just having a funny video, like, I realized, like, sometimes, like, that really does impact people. Like, you don't really know how that other person is feeling, and you have no idea where your videos go. And I'm like really grateful that, you know, that is another way to help people.
Yeah, it's impact on a mass scale, because like you said, you don't know where the videos go. Why did you get into TikTok, and when did you get started?
So I started in TikTok in quarantine, when like the whole world was shut down, I was like, at the beginning of quarantine, I was just like super spiraling. Like, I didn't really know who I was as a person. I didn't really have faith in anything, and I was just very lost. And I was it was like spring break, after spring break of my junior year. And so I'm like, I'm high school, and you know, you're doing all kid stuff. But during Easter time, my little sister was like, you should get on TikTok after quarantine. And so it was during the Easter. She was like, you should get on TikTok. And I was like, no, TikTok's for kids. You know, I don't really know what I would do. And she's like, you could sing. You know, and I was like, I'll see. And so I download TikTok and I'm like, you know what? Let me look up singers on TikTok. And I saw that there were people on there singing. And so I was like, I could do this. And from there, I was like spending hours a day just sitting, making TikToks, and they were getting nowhere, like just like 0 to 20 like views. And I was like, man.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, man.
For how long? That's interesting. I want you to stay there for a second because there's a lot of people watching this who, how many followers do you have right now on TikTok?
6 million.
Okay. Right. Okay. So between now and COVID, 6 million, right? That's literally 3 years ago. That's insane growth. That's 2 million a year on average. So how long though? Because you said you got no growth. How long were you getting like 0 to 20 views on your crazy voice?
For like a long time. For like a good, like, I don't know how many months it was. Like, it was like a struggle. Like, it's always been like a struggle up and down. Even like the first year, I was like, man, like, I feel like this is taking longer than usual because I see these other singers that are like are doing amazing. Like, they post one video and like they're, you know, doing the same thing that I'm trying to, like, well, I'm like trying to copy their videos and see like, what, why are they going viral?
What's the difference?
And mine always would not do well. And it was like that for like the first year, honestly. And And so randomly, but I did have one viral video. It was still during, it was like maybe like a couple months after I started. But after that viral video, it was like down.
Right.
And so I was like, okay. But I was just like in my kitchen and I was like, you know what? I had a feeling and I prayed. I was like, God, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, like, I've been doing this TikTok thing and I see no results. And then earlier, like later that day, I had a feeling, I was like, let me just set up my camera in my kitchen real quick and let me just sing a random song, you know? And so my mom was cleaning dishes and my sisters were there in the kitchen. And I just started singing like the opera Ave Maria song. And that was my first viral video was, me singing Ave Maria, and I was like, "Heck!" And in like the first like 30 minutes or like whatever minutes, it hit 10K, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, I just hit 10K! I'm famous! Like, this is crazy!" And so I was just like so ecstatic, and then like and it just kept growing, and I was like, "This is possible! Like, I feel like, you know, this can actually happen. Like, I'm not just like doing this for nothing." So
I feel that there's a like kind of a couple really important points to that. One, for those of you guys listening and watching to this, a year went by is what Kristen's saying. This is someone who has 6 million followers on the most popular platform out there in the world right now, and when I say an insanely good voice, it is an understatement. There really aren't words for Kristen's vocal capabilities. She's super humble and she's so awkward on the inside right now when I'm talking all these accolades to her, I know. But that's a fact. And so for those of you guys who are watching this saying, oh, like it's not getting anywhere for me either, this is someone who has been there and she's being super vulnerable and honest with us. And one thing that you said, though, when after that Ave Maria video, which is so important, is that you said it was possible. Like, I realized after that it was possible. But what's so impressive to me about your story just now is that you then realized it was possible. You were working for a year without really knowing and without really getting any constructive feedback numbers-wise. And yet you continued to work hurt. You continued to push through. You continue to just execute and act in spite of the lack of tangible results in front of you. Mm-hmm. And I always say to people, like, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes awesome. Mm-hmm. And so does consistency and work ethic. Like, you may not end up where you decided when you started that you wanted to be, but you most certainly will end up somewhere really great.
Yeah.
And for you, yeah, it may have taken you a year, but that one little, moment for you was enough to say, yes, I'm going to keep going. So I have a question. Why, other than sure, my sister said so, like, yeah, I started TikTok in the pandemic, but what did you And what are you hoping to get out of TikTok? Like, why do you keep creating now?
I would say I have always loved writing music, and I've always loved singing. I've always loved people, and like, I feel like I've always had like a big personality and stuff. And I feel like TikTok just started about like, I want to share my voice. I want to share my love for music. And I've always like was at the first few videos were me just like kind of like do like singing to an instrumental, like type beat, whatever. And me just like flowing lyrics, you know? And so that was like my first intent was like to write music. And then it turned into like, okay, let's like do covers, you know, like I want to try to do covers and just see, you know, what's up with that. And, but my end goal is like to release music and which I'm like right now in the works of like releasing music. And I've released a song, Love Shouldn't Be a Fight. And that was like my first song out after I went on America's Got Talent. And,
okay.
And so I was like, okay, I have that one out, and I have like right now 5 or 6 other songs that I'm like really wanting to release. And, which is like so beautiful to see like the transition of like, I have no idea what I'm doing with my life, and I'm just like running on faith and like, you know, don't really know what TikTok has to hold, and just kind of like, whatever, I'm putting myself out there. And to where it's actually coming into fruition is such a beautiful thing to see.
Absolutely. That is beautiful. Now tell me this about AGT, because one of my students, Angelica Hale, was top 2 uh-huh. on that show. She was a double golden buzzer winner. She
what?
Went on to AGT champions. She's great. She was little too. Like she's 15 now, but this was like years ago.
Wait,
a little Filipino singer.
Angelica, the one that sang I don't know if it was Bohemian Rhapsody.
She sang, I mean, she sang a bunch on the show. Yeah. She sang Rise Up. She sang Girl on Fire. Little tiny Filipino girl.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. She's amazing. That girl's amazing.
She is.
I was thinking about somebody else.
And she's super sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cute. I mean, they came to me. I first met her right when she got through the major, like, the more cattle call rounds of the show, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we took her through the whole show and then the champions and still now. And so I know a lot about, you know, the inner workings. I was on X Factor, had students on Idol and The Voice. And I know a lot about the inner workings of those shows, the guts behind them and the backstage moments. And when were you on it, first of all? Was it before or after you kind of started going viral on TikTok? And what was your experience like on AGT?
So it was after I had been going viral and stuff. I was at like maybe 900K. And then they invited me onto the show, but I was like auditioning for like America Got Talent, all of the singing shows, since I was like really young, like I would say maybe like 15, 16. And for years,
wow,
I would always audition. And it was always no, like, sorry, yep. Maybe next year, you're just not what I'm
saying.
We're looking for. And I'm like, okay. And then finally,
and you're so good. That's so crazy to me.
Thank you. And then finally, like after I was like, you know what? I don't need the shows. I'm just going to do like social media since I have control over it, yep. You know? And
right, right.
And then they were like, hey, you're going. I was like, yeah, sure. You know, this is great. At first I was like, no. But then I was like, okay. I was like, a lot of people have been wanting me to go on the show. Like a lot of people on social media, they're like, go on, you know, a talent show. And I was like, you know what? Since this opportunity is here, you know, I'll take it.
And that's also something that people out there don't really know unless you are in the biz or a singer yourself. Like, invite only is not an advertised thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the open auditions. You can audition online now. You know, people don't really wait in lines anymore much, but they do. I mean, the PAs and the talent scouts, they scour these apps looking for prolific singers who, and here's the key, have a lot of following. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're a show and they want those viewers that love you to watch their show. It's literally all a business. So what's annoying about that to me is that it's the same sort of mentality that labels have where they don't want to do the artist development or the spending of money to break an artist anymore. They want all the work to be done, and then they want to see you selling records and be like, hey, we'll sign you and take a piece of that and help you blow up even more. And those shows are like that too. They want people that are somebody already, unless you have just a crazy story and there are the outliers. But I find it really annoying, to be honest, that like you auditioned that many times and only until you were out almost a million did they then reach out to me like, hey, it's us. Remember how we like told you no all those times? Now that you're popular, do you want to be on our show? Like, that's basically the sentiment of it. And, yeah. You know, listen, they use you, you can use them. It's great to say that you are on AGT. It's high definition footage, if nothing else. And there's clout. People care, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I had a terrible time on X Factor. Yeah. It was a terrible experience for me. I was edited so poorly, but people care. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it was so not a big deal. I wish I could forget that part of my life, right? But like, people care and they're like, oh, but you were on that show. So that means you must be somebody or you must have done something incredible, right? And you did. But what you did was that year of hard work where you just had no payoff. And I do believe that God rewards that kind of grit and that kind of personality that just does not quit in spite of a lack of reward. Yeah. You know, your reward, though he tarry, he will come kind of thing. And so on AGT for you, now that you accepted their popularity contest and said yes, what songs did you, cause I don't watch anything anymore. Like if my students are on shows, I'll watch their episodes. I don't watch it. Yeah. It's probably bad. I probably should, but I don't. So tell me, forgive me. What songs did you sing and what was your favorite time that you can remember?
I would say the song that I sang was I See Red. And it was pretty funny because I was like, I don't want to sing that song. I want to sing like, you know, a different song. But then they were like, we really want you to sing the song. And I was like,
yep,
sign the contracts already. And I was like, okay, I have to sing the song. And, you know, God will turn it all for his good. And so I was like, you know what, we'll just see what this does. Fine, whatever. And which it did show up my voice very well. Like I really love, like, it's, every once in a while, like I'll check my phone. I'm like, okay, it's going viral again. You know, like the audition. And so I'm like, it does really well. But I had a really good time, like with the people, with the staff, and with the the people
the that contestants.
Were the contestants, yes. And they were great. Everyone was so sweet. We all kind of had the similar struggles with like. Songs and like wardrobe, and you know, that's always like a big thing with shows. It's like the wardrobe and the songs, and so it's like, oh, you're struggling with that too. Yeah, me too. We're all going through that as well. Yeah. And so it was really cool to just meet people that were like from across the whole world with different talents, because they're like, someone has goats and someone's like,
right,
you know, it's all different. So
that's a crazy show, to be honest. Like when Angelica was on it, I said, honey, listen, they're literally comparing apples to cucumbers here. You know, like how do you say who's better, a goat herder, a yodeler, or an acrobatic person? Like that's or you, who's like the sweet little angel singer, you know, like it's just crazy to me. And I totally relate to and understand what you're saying about song selection and the camaraderie even between contestants, because you know, they have this whole list of like cleared songs, you know, and approved songs. And I don't know if I've ever really said this on camera, but when I got on to X Factor, I got on with an original song. Mm-hmm. I sang a song that I wrote through all of the rounds. And I even sang the song in the televised round in front of everybody in the big stadium type of deal. But I would have made money if they aired that. So they like 2 days before I was supposed to sing said I needed to prepare a second song just in case. And it was the Usher song that I sang. They didn't say I could change the key. I sang it in the original key. It's a dude song. It was crazy. I barely knew the lyrics. And that's what they aired, as if that's what I sang to get me that far. But I didn't. I sang a song of mine called LA.
Wow.
And it's all about what clears and it's strategy. And I get it. It's a show. You're a cog in their wheel, right? But I think that what I'm curious to hear about from you now in regards to AGT is, did you have a plan getting on that show to leverage the exposure for yourself, or do you wish that you would have come up with a better one now?
I think it would have, like, I think I would have, if I had like a team or like if I had more knowledge about it, I think I would have leveraged it better. Because honestly, like, I've honestly been doing it by myself. Like, I'm like figuring it all along the way. I'm like, what is a manager? What do I do with that? Like, how do I get a team? You know, like what, like, I'm like spinning songs, like trying to do songs on my own money. And I'm like only getting like a little bit of TikTok money. And like, it's like a couple cents. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do. And like, going on agency, I was like, you know what, like, this would be great. And even though, like, I was like, I don't want to do it, I'll do it and get the exposure and hopefully that'll like help my career. And but I feel like I kind of just was winging it. I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And
most people don't.
Yeah. And so like what I would do differently was like have a song prepared, that you have like multiple songs, like have songs already out on iTunes, but also like have a song that's going to drop after you're on the show, or even use like try to see if you could use your song on there. But like I try to do the same thing and try to get my song that I was to sing, and they're like, no, we don't think it's like a good song. And
of course,
and we just,
because we won't make money from it, so yeah. It's a terrible song.
Yeah, like, okay.
Right.
And yeah. So yeah, I would say
so. What you're saying to me, it is the plight of, I would say, 95% of artists out there. Artists that don't say it are experiencing this, and artists that do say it are experiencing it. And I've come across so many talented singers who allude to the fact that they don't know the business of music. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's taught in music theory class. And even if you go to college, unless you go for music law or actual music business, if you're a vocal performance major, or if you just have loved to sing, you don't know anything about publishing or distribution or music law or streaming or playlisting or any of that stuff. How to find a manager, when do you need a manager? All of these things that are literally the backbone of any artist's career, especially when you're talking about scaling. And I just think that's such a travesty.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to encourage you, because I sense that in your voice, and I want you to know you're not alone, and there is no silly or dumb question to ask ever to anyone. Mm-hmm. And if anyone makes you feel silly or dumb, then they're not worth talking to.
Yeah.
Because you're so talented, and I know that it's lonely on a mountaintop, right? I know that it is difficult to wing it and go it on your own, and you start from nothing, like you say, on like a TikTok app, and then you get some traction, and then somehow you find yourself on AGT, and you're like, okay, well, I'm on this ride now, but like I don't have the infrastructure to really leverage this, and now I'm at 6 million, and now I want to release music, but like how much are you making on TikTok? Are you like, you don't have to give me exact numbers, but are you able to afford on your own funding a proper music project?
Yeah, I would say that with different streams of income, and like with like streams on like the cover or the couple of songs that I have, and then like the cover, and then also from what I was getting from Instagram, but they told no more bonuses, but they were barely doing anything. Oh. TikTok doesn't pay well, but brand deals and stuff like that, they do.
Okay.
So like, okay. that's basically like where like a lot of TikTokers and people get their income is from like brand deals. So.
Right. And you're doing some of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, with brand deals, you're kind of at least justifying the existence of the work it takes, you know, but then, you know, funding your own music projects, and then I gotta then either pay a publicist or pay playlisters to get on a playlist and find a way to monetize my investment. It's all very soul crushing, and none of it seems very artistic, right? And the problem with artists is that all they want to do is sing and make the music that they love.
Yeah.
But there's this entire other chasm that's like this deep, dark, like abyss that they look down and they're like, I don't want anything to do with that. I need a manager. But then the manager's like, if they're worth their salt, they're like, yeah, but you don't have enough to manage. And so then you're left to like kind of figure it out on your own. And it's a really frustrating place to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back to what you did that year. I go back to what you did that whole year of posting without much reward.
Yeah.
And that attitude, Kristen, and that work ethic, that's what's going to help you find your way to scaling to the next step and the next step. Yeah. I promise. Mm-hmm. It's going to help you scale to the next step, because it's the stick-to-itiveness mm-hmm. of any artist which is able to stand the test of time that causes them to come out on the other side. So many fall off for lack of clarity, yeah. lack of stamina, lack of drive and consistency and execution. So a lot of it is also the long game of just sticking it out and yeah. continuing to post and push through, you know? Mm-hmm. So, having said that, these projects that you're working on now, you said, I think, you recently had a trip to Nashville. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you find who you're working with, and what song are you most excited about in this new project?
So I was like working with, one of my music partners is, like Go Public Music, and, Brandon Reed is basically like songwriter / like manager type stuff. And it was just like, okay, like, let's go to Nashville. Like, let's write these songs. And the songs basically, are Take Them Out of It. I'm like, oh my goodness, Something New and, Hurricane. And then I recorded a cover of Love in the Dark. And, we were able to do it over there, and we were able to get like this drummer, Aaron Sterling, which I'm like, oh my goodness, Aaron Sterling. He has like great drums, like a lot of like bands that, that are like super like staple in my like music, like growing up. I'm like, oh my goodness, like the instrumentation of music is so important to me as well. And making mm-hmm. sure that it all just, like especially having a live band is beautiful. So we were able to like,
oh yeah,
the live band and record it all the songs. And I pre-recorded all the lyrics and kind of get the demos of it. And so that's what I was doing in Nashville.
So how did you find, it was Brandon Reed, Brendan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you and Brendan come to be working together?
Honestly, it was like through a friend, that I met at like church one day, and I was like, oh, like, you know, any like producers? And then he was like, yeah. Because I was like, I want to make music and I don't really know what to do. And so I kind of went, with my friend's recommendation, and so we just started making music from there, and it's been great. So yeah.
I asked because I think a lot of artists that are coming up think that in order to feel legitimate, they need to work with someone super legitimate.
Yeah.
And it needs to be this like, you know, cloudy, you know, I have a brick and mortar in Nashville and one in New York and one in LA, and we are on a wait list, and I was chosen to, you know, be represented by them. And what I say to that is find that friend or find that person that's willing to come alongside you. That's not that,
yeah.
that treats you like the biggest fish in their pond that they have. Mm-hmm. They don't have to have ever even done management to be a good manager. They just have to believe in you. They need yeah. to be organized. They don't have to have big hit songs to co-write with you.
Yeah.
You guys can create the big hit together. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people always want to ride a horse that's won.
Yeah.
And when you bet on yourself and do that service to bet on someone else, I've always found in my business that, man, the dividends of betting on a horse that's not won pays off so much, because the gratitude and the inspiration from that person that they want to prove to you that you made the right decision is so high and so on the forefront of their mind with everything that they do, that it's worth so much more. And I get so much more out of those people than I ever would with someone who thinks that they're doing me a favor
yeah.
by me working with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's one thing a lot of people get wrong. They think that, okay, if I want to make it, I need to get signed to a record label right now, or I need to, you know, only work with the top, this and this and that. It's like, I mean, for example, like Billie Eilish and her brother, you know, like, I don't know their full story.
Yeah.
It's like their brother and sister writing music and recording it in their room, you know, like,
yep.
It just starts like, start with what you have and
yes,
you know, just build it from there. And I'd also say like, I would just watch a movie, the Air Jordan one, like where they could have, Michael Jordan could have chosen like these other brands that were way bigger than, you know, Nike. And, but then Nike was like, we will put everything in, you know, like we're not, you know, amazing in the basketball stuff, but we will, you know, do that. And now it's like a great,
huge,
like you wouldn't even imagine. So I'm like,
Yeah. What a great story. To be honest, I personally think that the moments in my life where I shied away from taking a chance on someone and went with what I thought was the sure thing, it really was an insecurity and sort of like maybe even an inferiority feeling within myself, where I was like, I don't think I have what it takes to make what I want to happen for this in me. So I need to go find someone else who's proven to have what it takes to then kind of cover over what I think I lack. And I think that's a scarcity mentality within the capability of oneself that a lot of people, it's like a deep thing though, that a lot of people don't realize. I didn't realize until actually recently, you know? And I'll give you an example. I've been working on some music and I'm starting a record label, in the next year or two. It's a lot of work to start a label. You got to trademark the name and there's a lot of legal stuff. But Red Pill Records is something that God laid on my heart 2 years ago. It was as a calling. I think starting a label is a terrible business decision and I actually have no interest in it, but I do believe I was called to do so. But I truly have been a singer. I've been a performer, a vocal coach all my life.
Yeah.
I love my life. I don't really have any desire to do more than what I'm doing now, but I continue to be called higher to do more for whatever reason. And the thing is, I made this music and there's one song that's absolutely stellar. And I felt like I needed to get someone to help me push it to like another artist, a bigger artist. Like, let's pitch it to Bieber. Let's pitch it to Dua. Let's pitch it to Taylor. And I was working with people who had those connections and who could do that.
Yeah.
And I was totally like up for it. Like, yeah, let's do it. And we did. And when it came back and I got this really weird feedback, like, oh, it's a great song. Yeah, absolutely. There's not really any kind of scandal to it. And that's kind of what we're going for right now. Major labels said this, not like actual artists, of course. I was like, wow, that's really where music is. It's super, super evil at this point in the center of it all. And if there's not some sort of twisted, like left of center scandal or darkness to it in at least in a subliminal form, they're not in it. And I felt like, well, maybe I'm just not supposed to go and do that thing. But then the Lord was like, I'm sorry. Did I not tell you what you were supposed to do? And who am I and who are they and who do you trust in? Why are you acting like you needed that in the first place? You have everything you need because I am everything that you need. And I had to repent, and I feel still like really bad. And also there are moments where I'm like, but I don't know how to do this and I'm so alone and I don't want to do this on my own. I don't even, you know, and I have these like little temper tantrums about it, but in the stillness, I know what's true. And I know what I'm preaching here is what I need to do myself in this season and in this moment, and face the feeling of inferiority head on and be like, no. And if you don't know what to do, go Google it. Hey, there's ChatGPT now. Go figure it out.
Yeah.
You can go figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm not just saying this from like, oh, I've arrived at a high off mountain place. I'm literally where you are and where a lot of artists are in a different way. Not necessarily like, how do I make a singing career? But with this big, I call it a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. And you've got a big BHAG, and I love your why. I love that you believe that music spreads hope and healing. It does, and it should. But lately, it does not. The stuff that's out there is actually like soul crushing and life killing and really generational cursing. And I know that you share that same sentiment, Kristen. And the fact that you are a light in that darkness in the music industry is just so comforting to me. It's so encouraging to me. And I just pray that you continue to keep that first year TikTok mentality of I'm just, it doesn't matter about the views. I'm going to keep posting. I'm going to keep singing. I'm going to keep writing, because that one viral thing pops off and then the floodgates open, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so crazy because, and I'm glad that we were talking about this, because I'm like, you know, there is such a scarcity of like songs that bring life. And because I'm like, everything that goes viral, like I had a dream one time, and it was like girls, like young girls, dressing up to make TikTok videos. And there was like a song in the background, and it was just showing just like a bunch of girls that are doing this, but it was like, it wasn't their authentic self. It was like a more of a, like they had to be something and like a, like show off their body and all this different stuff to so much. Feel like they fit in. And I felt like, I was like, whenever I woke up from that dream, I was like, I don't want to add to that. I don't want to add to that culture of, you know, young girls feeling they have to show themselves, and then, or to think that just like kind of listening to music that they're like, oh, it won't affect me. But truly what you listen to, what you feed yourself will impact your life. And
100%.
And so like, and showing like there's a culture that is impacting children and just people in general that are ruining their self-image and feeling they have to be something that they're not. And so I'm like, well, let's not add to that. And let's, you know.
Yeah, be a part of the solution and not part of the problem. And what breaks my heart so much is that a lot of people don't even think there is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, like I go back to the Grammys this year because it was just the most offensive and egregious thing I've seen this year. Mm-hmm. And I don't even watch the Grammys, but it just came up on my social media feed like the next day, you know. And I was like, how in God's green earth does the Grammy board allow this on their stage? How do the television networks allow this to be televised and fed through to people's televisions? And this is the worst part. How do parents – let their kids sit and watch it? And for me, like when I spoke out about it on my channel, I got mostly comments, like 95% of the comments saying, why do you care? It has nothing to do with you. Stay in your lane. If the kids don't like it, they can go into another room. He's not doing anything wrong. It's artistic expression. Of course, then I'd be accused of like, you know, oh, you hate LGBTQIA, blah, 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 blah. You're judgmental. And it's like, do you not see? Like, don't, like, you literally, like, there's nobody home, you know? And that's the scary part for me, is that truly at the end of the day, labels, Grammy boards, TV networks, entertainment industry, music industry, they chase money. Mm-hmm. And they follow the dollar. And we as consumers spend the money.
Yeah.
And so if we as consumers just stopped spending the money and or streaming those things, they would cease to exist.
Yeah.
Because labels themselves aren't evil. They just want to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So wherever the dollar is, that's where they're going to go. And that's the content. Those are the artists that they're going to sign, yeah. Right? And so there's a systemic problem, I believe, in the heart of us as a human race, as a society, and in particular in America, where we love that twisted scandal. We feed off of it. And so my prayer is to re-educate people. I'm not going after labels or Grammy boards or TV networks. I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to people and say, you may not know that there's something better to eat than McDonald's, but I promise you there's filet mignon, yeah. And it's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let me let you try that. And how about we educate our kids as to what is uplifting and life-giving, and not numb and dumb their minds down with, I'm just listening to it for the beat, and it just bangs so hard, but that the words inside are like
sexual,
you know,
over sexual. And I think that like one thing is I realized is like over sexual songs. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, if you're an adult, you know, listen to it. You're an adult. You're a full grown person. You can make your own decisions. Yep. But I think that, like, it really is important. Like, I think that's why I'm very cautious of what I post. And, like, and what I sing. That's why I feel like me singing I See Red was a big conviction for me, because I was like, man, like, this is about, you know, anger and like holding grudges towards and like wanting to shoot your ex in the head type stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, like, that's why I never released a cover of it. And that's why I still won't, because I'm like, I don't want some girl or some person to go on my page and, or to go on my iTunes and they listen to a cover of me using my voice and the gift that God gave me to sing. Like, hey, I know that you might be, I don't know what anybody's situation is, but that person might be going through a struggle or they're angry at somebody that cheated on them or something. And instead of being like, you know what, I forgive you and I'm going to release that, I'm not going to hold a grudge against you, because internally that'll affect me more if I hold a grudge.
100%. Yep.
Instead of letting that go, they'll listen to that song and like, yeah, you know, forget him, you know, and become even more angry and feed into that lie. Like,
right.
You know, and so I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna feed into
that. Yeah, and yours was the voice that was like the backing track to that kind of narrative in their life. Yeah, I get it. And unfortunately, artists, man, their work is stuck in time, you know? Like, think about Camila who I've spent personal time with Camila on X Factor. We're in the same season. She's a very sweet girl. But think about her and what's his name that she was dating, and they did this song, I love it when you call me señorita. I can't remember his name. He's a famous singer. Anyway, they're dating and that song's out there. They're not together and that song's still out there. Like, things stay when you are in the music and entertainment industry. And good for you. You know, we evolve, we learn, but even more so of a reason to be careful and thoughtful and using our discernment to what we decide to release, because you can't unsing a song once it's out there. Yeah. You can take it down, but I mean, people still have it, mm-hmm. You know, you can take down a YouTube video, but people can still screenshot that and still just, I mean, nothing's ever gone once it's out there, really. So I love your exercising of discernment on that. And where can we find you? You know, for those of you who are watching and listening, and if you don't know Kristen and you're not on her journey, you really need to be, because I'm telling you, this girl has another few of those after the first year of TikTok posting moments where she just has a big boom. So to follow her, where do we go, Kristen? What do we do?
So you can go on all my social media platforms. It's Kristen Cruz. It's just my name, but it's KRISTEN and then extra N, and then it's CRUZ. So.
Okay. I didn't know there was an extra N. Is that in your real spelling of your name?
No, it's just because I couldn't get my name. So I was like, let me just add
right.
the letter somewhere. So.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Double N. K and a C instead of K and a K. Kristen, I love your heart, honey. And you have a friend and a fan in me. I would love to collab with you at some point and sing with you. Your voice is crazy good. I think that would be super fun. And I just want you to know that if there's anything I can ever do for you, or if you want to use me as a resource, you've got that. And thank you for sharing your heart and being so vulnerable and so honest today on Truth with Tara.
Thank you so much. Yeah, if you want to do any vocal lessons, any, you know, I would
okay. love that. All right. Yeah. Actually, we'll have to set that up.
Yeah.
Let's set that up for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you so much for watching, guys. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.